So, in the hopes that I don't get cold on the carpet for this by the powers that be at Torah Moments, we're going to leave the book of Shoftim and head, instead of continuing on in the Seder Tanakh directly, we're going to take a little detour and go chronologically to Megillas Rus, which was written by Shmuel Hanavi, the same individual who wrote Sefer Shoftim and compiled it, and then most of Sefer Shmuel, because Megillas Rus, chronologically, historically, morally, and in terms of the history of Klal Yisrael, is a necessary precursor to understanding what's going to happen in Sefer Shmuel, and of course, in particular, the arising of David HaMelech, who plays such a huge role in Sefer Shmuel. So we'll start with Megillas Rus, and today we'll do a little bit of an introduction to it in advance of the Megillah, which is one of the more beautiful Megillahs that we read over the course of the year, and one that has gotten its share of attention both from the Jewish people, from Chazal, just tremendous statements to be made about this Megillah, and unfortunately from the secular world, particularly the Christian world, who completely misinterpret most of what Sefer Rus is about, and who try to bend it to their own purposes, much as they try to do with Sefer Yeshaya, with very mixed success. One of the Christian sources that I found calls the Book of Ruth one of the beauty spots of sacred literature and a haven of true romance. And to that, I can only answer with what Rabbi Yisrael Reisman likes to say about Sefer Rus, in particular, the third perek, when Rus meets Boaz, and then they have their first shidduch date, and it's in a barn, as Rabbi Reisman says, with the cows on the dirty floor of the threshing floor of the barn. I do not know very many women who would consent to that being a date and would find that to be romantical. So again, the kind of interpretation or popular understanding of Sefer Rus really misses a lot of the realities of the Sefer. And so a number of different points that can be made about Megillas Rus. In the Medrash Rabbah, Rabbi Amar Rabbi Ze'era, Megillah zu ein ba lo tuma v'lo tahara lo iser v'lo heter. This Megillah does not have anything in it concerning the laws of impurity or purity, tuma and tahara, nor what is forbidden and what is permitted. On the other hand, another big problem with the non-Jewish attitude towards Sefer Rus is that they try to divorce the story from halacha. And there are a lot of halachic ramifications and discussions that come up anytime one learns Sefer Rus, the hilchos of Yibum, the halachos particularly of Yerusha, and the Goel, the family redeemer who has to redeem the family property whenever it potentially could leave the family. There are issues of interpersonal conduct, bein adam l'chavero, that are very, very important. And historical points about the era of the Shoftim and who Boaz was and who Rus was, and issues particularly of conversion that come up multiple times. So while Rabbi Ze'ira is saying there's no open discussion of halacha, definitely there are many halachos that are going to play a strong role as we go on. But then Rabbi Ze'ira continues, V'lama nichtava, so why was it written? L'lamedcha kamo schar tov l'gomlei chasadim. To teach us the greatness of the reward for acts of loving kindness. And the non-Jewish focus on love leaves out the kindness aspect, the chesed aspect, the purity of the gemilas chasadim that come up in Sefer Rus, is an archetype for all of us to emulate any chance that we could possibly get. The rewards are unbelievable. The Rambam talks about chesed. Kindness is different from justice and righteousness, he says. Justice can refer to payment of a debt, following the law. Tzedakah, or tzedek, righteousness comes from justice, is not an obligation mandated by the law, but something that you're motivated on your own to perform. But kindness, unlike tzedek and justice, kindness is completely beyond any feeling of obligation. The Rambam says in Chazal, in the Torah, most of the references to chesed involve bestowing kindness on someone to whom one has no obligation whatsoever. The Chazal have taught us that the world is built on chesed. This is the ongoing existence of the world is because of chesed. And that is something that Ruth demonstrates and Boaz demonstrates in great quantity all throughout Megillas Ruth. It is a thread that follows all the way through the scope of the Megillah, and it's people performing kindness without expecting any reward, without expecting any repayment for it. So that's one major aspect, is the Gemilas Chesed aspect. But another aspect, the Chazal call Sefer Rus a book of tzara, a book of suffering, and we'll see this mentioned in the first pasuk, Vayihi Bimei, always starts off potential tragedy. And they compare Megillas Rus to Sefer Iov, because both of them talk about tragedies that befell distinguished and wealthy families. This Megillah is not merely a romantic book of beauty. In fact, it has all kinds of human tragedy in it. Tragedy of the individual person who comes on hard times. Tragedy involving families and the death of men who may have been righteous, but not quite enough, perhaps. The life of the nation. Without this story, we don't have David HaMelech. And David HaMelech went through a lot of trials and tribulations over the course of his life. But there is, and there's a commentary on Sefer Rus called the Nachalas Yosef, which is just a beautiful Sefer written by Rabbi Avraham Tzioni in the 1940s and 50s. So it's a relatively recent Sefer. But he points out that in Iov, we are kind of infused with sorrow and gloom and a kind of, I don't want to say pessimistic, but a kind of dark view of existence and reality. And Sefer Rus, even though you read about famine and exile and death and poverty, does not make the reader or the Kehillah listening to Sefer Rus on Shavuos feel sadness and sighing. Instead, the suffering in Sefer Rus all happens because of the outcome. In the end, we see why the suffering had to precede it in the beginning. So they say, the Chazal said that Sefer Rus is suffering with a following, with a sequel of happiness afterwards. And in fact, Rabbi Yochanan says in Gemara Vava Basra, why was she called Rus? Because David was descended from her, and he was Raveh. He satisfied, he satiated HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his hymns and praises. So we see that Sefer Rus is the kind of thing where we see that the rain will eventually be followed by the shoot, as they say, the tzemach, that would eventually be David and the Mashiach that are going to come from there. There is an interconnection, Rabbi Yochanan is telling us, between David HaMelech and Rus. It's not just an interconnection, it's a familial connection. And bracha can come through sadness and suffering. It is not a book that minimizes the suffering of two impoverished women who have absolutely no resources, who are gleaning with the poorest people in the back of the rows of the Aniyim. In the two Mishnayos a day, we've talked about Peya and Leket, Shechecha and Peya, and it's not stinting on the realities and the harshness of the life that afflicted them. When Naomi comes back, we see that all of the people of Beis Lechem say, Hazos Naomi, can that be Naomi? She doesn't even look the same. And yet the lessons are tremendously powerful that we learn from the story of Rus, from the story of Naomi, from the relationship between them, between a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law, between the greatness that had been hidden in the midst of the nation of Moab. The Chazal tell us that the entire nation of Moab and Ammon were kept alive and kept going, and we weren't allowed to touch them or molest them in any way when we were going through the Midbar, all because of the two doves, the Chazal used the phrase, that came from those nations. It was the two converts, Rus, and to a lesser extent, Orpah, but it was these women, particularly Rus, who kept Moab, who justified the existence of Moab in many ways. Now, one last point about the non-Jewish attitude is that that connection is something that is completely misinterpreted by Christian critics who look over the book. As one said that I dug down, it didn't take much deep digging, because this is one of their overt messages from the book. The Book of Ruth, says this non-Jewish writer, incorrectly, demonstrates God's love for the Gentiles, even in a period of history when the Hebrew people were given prominence. Ruth was a descendant of Lot, Abraham's nephew, and therefore a Gentile. He then, it's opined among the non-Jews that the mother of Boaz was Rahab HaKenani, for which there is absolutely no source of any kind. And they suggest this is why Boaz, chas v'shalom, was not hostile, quote unquote, to marrying a Gentile. And the Lord is willing to take all people under the umbrella, which is a complete misinterpretation and misunderstanding of all of the psukim that are so vital in Sefer Rus, about Rus seeing the emptiness of her home culture and the incredible value of Jewish values, of the Jewish lifestyle, of course, in faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of putting aside her background in order to leave her people behind and say, your people are my people, and where you go, that's where I will go. When we see the psukim at the end of Perek Aleph, because Naomi challenges Rus three times on how much she really wants to convert, we will see that Rus is clear in every single fate that she chooses that it must be a Jewish one. So the idea somehow that this is a document of multiculturalism or of equality across the board for all nations, if you look at the halachos that come up, if you look at the incredible insistence of everybody in this Megillah of living within the Jewish framework, from Boaz, who insisted on the workers greeting each other with Hashem's name so that they would become much more accustomed to giving credit and seeing Hashem in every aspect of their lives, to Rus, who chooses Judaism freely and not on the condition that she's somehow going to get rich or is going to have a great fate, but she chooses it with an impoverished widow who can offer her nothing, to even Ploni Almoni, the man who rejects Rus, but who does so for very strong halachic reasons about what it's going to mean for his yichus, about what responsibility is going to lie upon him, to the men that Boaz gathers in order to hear the case when he is volunteering to marry Rus and take on the obligations. Every aspect of it is tremendously attached to what Yiddishkeit is, what Yiddishkeit should be. And that's another last point, is that many Chazal, not all, but many Chazal point out that the era of the Shoftim was an era when the Jewish people were at kind of a spiritual low level. We had become very focused on our land, our fig tree, on our individual Ishkla Yashar Be'enav, the incredibly unfortunate attachment to Avodah Zarah that we saw again and again and again in Sefer Shoftim. This represents a moment that's kind of a nadir. And yet, we see that in the middle of this kind of low point, the most incredible spirituality can flourish when Rus becomes a part of Klal Yisrael, when Boaz reaches out to her, when we see that the flaws of that generation, which may have caused, as we'll see in Pasuk Aleph, the famine, which may have caused them to have difficulties with their own judges, which may have caused all kinds of rebuke. But within that, the most incredible roots of David HaMelech, of Mashiach, are going to spring and flourish. And if anything, this perhaps is among the most Jewish of all the Jewish Sfarim that are there, because of what it models for us, because of what it tells us about loving kindness and suffering and change, because of what it tells us that true Avodas Hashem can be. And so this is a tremendous Sefer, and it is my privilege and pleasure to get to hopefully go through it with anyone out there who is listening. And we will begin next time with the first Pasuk, Vayihi Bimei Shvot HaShoftim.